in verse 13? Yeah, we left off in verse 17. We finished that up, so we're in verse 18. We'll start off verse 17. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. They desired to see the Messiah come and hear him on the earth. Okay? And just as they desired to see him, the righteous men and the prophets in those days, so we desire to see Jesus Christ today, right? So that's basically what that's teaching there. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now, here you have to realize, and we're going to go ahead and pray first. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you again for your words and an opportunity to hear them, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we would have our eyes and ears open to them, and more importantly, that our heart would be open to them, Lord, so that what we hear and see will go down in there in the good ground. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, now you have to realize here that Jesus knows in the back of his mind that no one knows until it's revealed to Paul. Jesus knows that the Gentiles are going to get in on this thing in the back of his mind. And nobody else knows that until it's revealed. Okay, and that's found in Ephesians 3. And that is that the nation of Israel is going to be put off, right? And the church age will be instituted. The Jew didn't know anything about the church age yet, and it's unknown to them or anyone else at the time of Christ. Okay? We're looking at this parable. It's a kingdom parable, a kingdom of God parable, and a kingdom of heaven parable. And so it can be applied to both. And that's found in the other, in Luke, and I think it's found in Mark as well. But there is no revelation that the Gentiles are going to get in on this yet. There are hints in there. There are hints in the book of Matthew. There are hints in the Old Testament. But the disciple, you know, you ever say the disciples and the Jews had a hard time hearing as it was. They weren't going to hear anything about that, right? And I put the disciples in there too because they did have a hard time hearing. They're right in there with the Jews, okay? And we're going to see some of those things here in a little bit. This is what the Jew knew. And that the kingdom was going to come in, and it was going to come, and the Messiah was going to come, right? That's what they knew. The kingdom was going to come, and the Messiah was going to come. And up until this point, we have to be honest, too. We have to be honest that up until this point, in verse 18, that verses 3 through 8, we, having never heard any preaching, having never heard any teaching on those subjects, and having never got to verse 18, that we'd be in the same position as these Jews, right? We wouldn't know anything about what Jesus just said in verses 3 through 8. Nobody would be sure about what Jesus was talking about had Jesus not explained it here in verse 18 and started to explain it, okay? Verse 19. Verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. He got the seed, he received it, but he received it by the wayside. Okay? Now, according to verse 15, let's go back up a few. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Who are the people that don't understand? Right? That's what this verse says. And should understand with their heart, this people's heart. That's the Jews. Okay? And they don't understand. The people who don't want the truth is the context. Okay? The Jews, they didn't want the truth. That's the context. And so they're not going to get the word. They're not going to understand it. And so it's anybody that hears the word of the kingdom who doesn't want it. That is the context. And the Jews, the word of the kingdom is coming to the Jews. And so who is the wicked one? We all know who the wicked one is. It's the devil. Okay? And so the devil is capable of reaching down into your heart, down into somebody's heart that doesn't want the word. He's capable of going down in there and getting it from you. Okay? That's what the Bible says here. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth, right? What is he using? What is he using to catch? His mouth? He's able to get it somehow. He's catching it with something. It's not, doesn't matter what he's catching it with, whether it's his hands or his mouth, who knows? But he's getting it from you, okay? Catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. The seed was in there, even though it was by the wayside. It was still in there, and the devil was able to go in the heart and grab it. Okay, 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. Second Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. The Bible says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, little g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. See, they got the word delivered to them, and they believed it not. Believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Okay? So they received it. An unbeliever's heart is being hindered. It's being hindered by Satan, the god of this world, the wicked one, in this verse. Okay? But it's only after they had already hardened their hearts against the truth. God delivers the truth. He gets the truth to the ones that are by the wayside, the ones that are in thorny ground, the ones that have a hard heart or a stony ground, and the ones that have good ground. And he delivers it to all of them. And Satan hinders those that don't want it. Those that didn't believe it, that didn't want the truth. And so here is the process of rejecting truth. Okay, we're going to go through that real quick. Everyone begins with light by Jesus Christ himself, who's given them that light. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And that's found in John. And we'll go to Romans here and look at this one. And it'll back up John. John 1, well, we'll start off in John 1:9. The Bible says, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's Jesus Christ, right? Every man is light, given some light by Jesus Christ when they come into this world. Romans 1, verse 17. We'll start off verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Okay? For God hath showed it unto them. John says that Jesus Christ lighteth every man that cometh in the world. And so here's what you have. Everybody begins with some light given by Jesus Christ. Okay? That's the first process. Second, they reject the light that God gives them. Okay? This is the process of rejecting truth. Everybody had it. Everybody has it. Everybody has opportunity to it. And then those who reject it, the light that God gave them, they reject it. Why do they reject it? John 3:19. John 3:19. The Bible says in John 3:19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Their deeds were evil. They liked their sin. And those that receive seed on the wayside, they don't want to give their sin up for Jesus Christ or any of the truth that he has for them. That's what it is. They're rejecting the truth. And so, what do? They justify their sin. They justify their sin back in Romans 2. And everybody in here probably knows this. There's some that may not know this, but Romans 2. They justify their sin. How do they do that? By excusing and accusing one another. We'll start off in verse 13, Romans 2:13. "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these have not the law, these having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts." We just read that they were given some light. "Work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another." Right? So they had the light, they rejected the light, and now they're justifying why they don't need the light. Okay? And this defiles their heart, and it closes it. And that's found right here. And once this happens, they lose their opportunity of the light that God gave them. Right? They lose that opportunity. And that's found in Matthew 13:12-19. And so, do you really want to know why people don't come to a Bible-believing church? People may have started out in a Bible-believing church, but why aren't those people still in a Bible-believing church? I mean, I'm not saying that everybody that leaves this church is not going to a Bible-believing church. What I'm saying is people that start out in a Bible-believing church, why do they end up in other churches that aren't Bible-believing, that don't even believe the book that they have? Because somewhere along the line, right, they've rejected light that God gave them. And they could even be saved. But they don't have anything to do with this Bible anymore. Why is it? Because they rejected light. And God isn't about to let them back in. He's not about to let them back in unless they repent. And that repentance, folks, sometimes never comes. It never comes. And that's all dependent on if there's a servant out there that has followed the guidelines of 2 Timothy and is in a position where he can help somebody, and then God preadventure would give them a repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. Right? That's up to God at that point once you reject. And that's why people have nobody come to their doors but Mormons. And that's why nobody knocks on the doors but Jehovah's Witnesses to anybody at some of these houses. That's all they get that knock at their doors. Or Catholics. Or any other denomination but that of a Bible believer. Somewhere along the line, they've rejected truth. And so now they get parables. And that's where the Jews are at. They're getting parables. And that's why, folks, it's so important to never, never reject truth. It's one thing to know the truth and just disobey it. It's another thing to reject it and come up with your own solutions, right? That's another thing. Willfully knowing the truth and willfully going against it, that's one thing. But rejecting the truth and making up a lie, that's what Romans is talking about. These people made up a lie, changed the glory of God into a lie, all right? That's rejecting truth. And that's why, it's better, folks, to be messed up with your mom and dad, right? It's better to be messed up with your friends, even your church friends, than it is to be messed up with God. And sometimes we have to believe what the Bible says, and that's it. I mean, we can't go with somebody else's thinking on things. And that's going to make some people angry. And you just have to understand that it's, hey, I'd rather you be angry at me than God be angry at me, right? Sorry, but that's the one I got to pick. And so, because when you do, if you do to choose to reject truth, God then, like I said at the start of this this chapter, God then teams up with the devil to get you a lie. He gets you a lie. And that he not only gets you to lie, but he keeps you from the truth, and he lets the devil take away the truth that was given you to begin with. And we're going to go ahead and see some of these things. 1 Kings, we all know this one probably. 1 Kings 22. This is Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Jehoshaphat, he's the king of Judah, and Ahab would be the king of Israel. Okay? They're split at this time. And these prophets come up to the king of Israel, and they say, yeah, you go into the battle, and everything's going to be okay, and you're going to come out, and all this stuff. And then the king wants to hear it from Micaiah. And so they go and get him, and before they get there, the guys tell him, hey, you need to tell him that everything's going to be okay. And so that's what he does. And the king says, I want you to tell me the truth. I don't want to hear this. I wanted the truth from you. So he tells him the truth, and he goes, see, I told you he wasn't going to do anything but tell me something that was bad, ill. That's found in verse 17. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills. This is him telling them the truth now. We'll go to 15. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead? Shall we go to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Right? That's what he said. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that having not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? Right? He sounds like the Jews. John the Baptist comes one way, preaching harsh. Jesus comes another way, preaching gentle. And they reject both of them. And here it is in one account. Right? He tells them the lie, tells them the truth, and he don't want the truth. So, what does God do? Verse 20. And the Lord said, who? Verse 19, let's get the context here. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner, and there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. He already knew he was going to accomplish it, I will persuade him. The Lord's given him permission. If the Lord ever gave an unclean spirit or the devil or the spirit of Antichrist permission to come after you and lie to you, you will be deceived. You will be deceived. Because you've already hardened in your heart. It's downhill for you. And the Lord said unto them, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in his mouth. In the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also, go forth and do so. The Lord knows he's going to win. He's going to get this one. He's going to be able to deceive this person. He's already hardened his heart against the prophet. And so, no matter what Micaiah said to the king, he didn't believe him. He didn't believe him when he lied. And he didn't believe him when he told him the truth. And why? Because God had already sent him a lying spirit to lie in the prophets, out of the prophets' mouths. And he was one of the prophets that lied to him. Isn't that something? A Bible-believing prophet lying to the people, to a person, to the king. That's why it's important never to reject truth, because you don't know where the lie is going to come from. The people that you believe the most, that's where it's going to come from. And it's going to overtake you. But if you keep your heart right, and you just say, Lord, I don't understand it. Maybe I don't understand it, but you said it. I'm going to believe it, and I'm not going to discard it as truth. And maybe someday you'll give me some more light on this so I can understand it. That's the attitude we have to have in our hearts. Not only that, but here's Ezekiel. Go to Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14:1. God is teaming up with the devil to get you a lie. Those that don't want the truth. Ezekiel 14:1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Shall I be inquired at all by them? Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel, or every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Right? And so it goes on, you keep reading, and then the Lord comes after the prophet. But not only that, but he's going to come to the prophet, and then he's going to make them believe that lie. The Lord's going to do this. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 10. We'll start off verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Now this is in the tribulation, folks. This is in the tribulation, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. God is doing this, making them that they should believe a lie. There's God, there's the devil. You reject truth, God says, hey, devil, go get them. make them believe a lie or send them a lie. And then God makes them believe that lie. Because that's what they wanted. They didn't want the truth. They wanted the lie. And so God gives them what they want. So let's look again at these people that receive the word on the wayside. Who did that in Israel? The leaders. The religious leaders did that. Okay? And they represent the people. And they didn't want the truth, right? People didn't want the truth. So the leaders, they didn't get the truth. They didn't want it. The people didn't want it. God sent them leaders that didn't want the truth. And so the truth gets taken away, and the devil is involved with this, and God is involved with this. And that is what's called the law of replacement. The truth is here. You don't want it? Okay, I'm going to take it from you, but I can't just leave you empty. I have to give you something in return. So he gives them the lie. Let's go back to Matthew. Matthew 13. Man, I'm not going to get through this. Matthew 13, verse 20. But he that receiveth but he that received the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word in anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. By and by is he offended. How many people without any understanding of the gospel hear one day that they could have a free ticket to heaven? It's easy. You can have a free ticket to heaven. And you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is say this prayer. 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Right? And so what seems to be good news, they receive it with joy. And then they go, and they go out a couple hours later. They're talking about it with their friends, and their friends are laughing at them and persecuting them. And they find out that their friends and their mom and dad don't want anything to do with Jesus. And they're not excited about it. And all of a sudden, Jesus becomes an offense to them, and they're done with Jesus for the rest of their life. Because somebody gave him a hard time. A guy once gave this analogy as I was going through school. He said, you can take a Yugo. Remember those little Yugo cars? They say Yugo around the block. That's as far as they would go, right? And then they would be junk. You can take a Yugo and put a V8, super souped up V8 engine in it, right? And you know something has happened to that car. So don't tell me you can take a God as big as he is and put him in a tiny little being as small as we are and nothing happened to the person. Okay? There's people that'll say, oh, well, you can be saved. But let me tell you, the Bible is clear. They're going to produce some fruit. And it's going to be 30-fold. And we're going to see that here in a little bit. But you just can't do that. No, something's got to happen inside somebody. Something will happen. People call on Jesus for all the wrong motives, folks. For all the wrong motives. Maybe their marriage is in turmoil. Maybe they've got family members that are sick. And they think that their family members are going to get healed or their marriages are going to be healed because they call on Jesus. And that's their motive. Where's the sin issue in your life? Right? Where is it? Where's the repentance? Hey, everybody wants to hear Jesus loves you. And Jesus will save you. And they'll receive that. But the moment something happens that they have to go through some suffering, when they hear about Jesus and what they're going to have to go through in their life, persecution, laughing at you, you sissy, right? You trusting in Jesus, you're a sissy. And then all of a sudden, they don't want anything to do with him anymore. And so the only part of the gospel that people want to hear, folks, is the part that Jesus loves you. They don't want to hear that you're a sinner and you're going to go to hell. They don't want to hear that part. That's the negative part. But they want to hear Jesus loves you. They don't want to hear that you're an enemy of God and the wrath of God is upon you because of your sin and you need to repent and trust Jesus. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that you need to be saved because you're a sinner. And that's what we need to tell people. Not, Jesus loves you. No. Give them that part, but give them why he had to do what he did. Because there was no other way for you to be saved. Because you're wretched. You're a sinner. And that's what so many people fail to do with the unsaved. They fail to give them the negatives. All right. I'm going to have to speed this up. Who made up the nation of Israel? The people makes up the nation of Israel. We know that. Who represents the nation of Israel? The 12 disciples. Okay? And we already went through this once before. There were 13 tribes mentioned. There's 13 tribes, but only 12 of them are mentioned. Okay? So you've got the religious leaders. They're the ones that receive seed by the wayside. Then you've got the disciples. They are offended at Jesus Christ when he goes to the cross. That's found in Matthew 26:30. What does Peter do? He denies him. Jesus said, all men shall be offended at me because of this night. Or this day. I forget what the word he used, but it's found there, Matthew 26:30. And what does Peter say? I will never deny you. And God told him, you'll deny me thrice. Everybody wants the love of Jesus, but nobody wants to suffer for it. And so the disciples represent the 12 tribes. And they are offended at Jesus Christ. Okay? They're not saved here. They're not saved here. They have no root. And that's how the nation is. They have no root. They haven't trusted Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And give me a few more seconds. I'd like to get through this. What does Judas do? Let's go to Matthew 13:22 real quick. But verse 22. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the words and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becometh unfruitful. What does Judas do? He sells out Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. He loved the riches of this world. Okay? And so, what is this parable showing us here? Showing us this is how the nation of Israel is, these first three characters, these first three hearts. The religious leaders received seed on the wayside. And those that had a stony heart make up the majority of the nation, okay? Because 12 disciples. And then you had one guy that had a thorny heart, and it looks to me like it's made up about the same as the religious leaders. There's a percentage there. I don't know what the percentage is. I didn't figure that out. But Judas, he's a type of this person that receiveth seed on thorny ground. Verse 23. But he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Hey, what does the Bible say? He came unto his own. Right? That's the first three hearts. And his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so here you have the individual, the heart, the good heart. That'll be the individual. He's dealing with the individuals now. And those that have a good heart, the Gentiles or the Jew, and the individual, not the nation. He's not talking about the nation here. And those that receive him by trusting in him, that's who he's talking about. The good heart. And they're going to bear hundredfold, 30-fold, 60-fold. It's guaranteed, folks. Guaranteed. You can't take a God as big as he is and put him in somebody as small as we are and no fruit come out of it. It just doesn't happen. With a good heart, it doesn't happen. We'll go ahead and stop there and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for your words. And thank you for the truths, Lord, that are found here. And it's one thing to have your words, Lord, and it's another thing to have truth that's found in it. It's got to be dug out. It's one thing to have doctrine, but the truth in there, Lord, there's a lot more in the Bible than just your words. There's a lot more in the Bible than just reproof and correction and instruction and doctrine. There's truth. And we pray that we'd have a heart to receive it. For Christ's sake, we pray these things. Amen.